This episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by Canvas Pop. Canvas Pop makes it easy for you to turn any photo into a piece of art and comes ready to hang on your wall. Frank, all the countless Facebook and Instagram photos that we upload daily, well, now you can easily turn them into gorgeous canvas art or into custom framed photo prints. In fact, Frank, I got you a little gift. Mm-hmm. I went to canvaspop.com and within minutes, I ordered a really cool canvas print for you, my friend. And what's great, I was able to live chat with their support team and they walked me through the entire process. I even received a proof of what the print will look like before I submitted it for print.
Oh, Mike, I'm excited and maybe even a little scared to see what you're going to send me, but that's awesome. And here's another great idea. Mother's Day, it's right around the corner. You know, I'm already shaking my head. I have no idea what to get my wife, let alone what I'm going to have my daughter get for my wife. But after using Canvas Pop, I realized that a canvas print for our family would be the perfect personalized gift. I love how their prints, they're hand stretched by expert craftsmen, so they come out looking perfect every time. So if you're looking for a one of a kind personalized Mother's Day gift this year, check out Canvas Pop. They're going to give all of our Golf Podcast listeners an amazing 50% off your order when you use coupon code GOLF, G-O-L-F, at checkout. So visit canvaspop.com/golf to get your order in now.
And be sure to order yours by April 29th to guarantee your beautiful print before Mother's Day. Don't forget another Mother's Day. Make it special with Canvas Pop.
Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. Mike, we're finally going to get out there and play around this weekend.
That's right. Yeah, I'm stoked. We got 63-degree weather on the horizon. It's a Saturday. You know, we're going early, too. We got a nice 6:48 tee time. It's going to be a little cold in the morning, but hey, I'm looking forward to it.
That's it, man. When you got those kids at home, you got to hit that early tee time. Try to get back before everybody wakes up.
Exactly.
Before the mayhem of the day, you know?
Right.
But I'm excited. Mansion Ridge, we're playing. I've played that track once or twice. I know you have. I've heard it's in great condition. It seems to be one of the first ones to get to be fully open in the area. So we booked our tee time and I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And you know what's great about Mansion Ridge is it kind of teases you a little bit because they have this very easy opening par four hole, which you definitely got to get on the green in two. And then right after that, you have this short par three, really short. I think it's like 130 yards. But then after that, the course just starts biting you in the rear end. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough, tough course. It's long. I think it's a Jack design course, and it's brutal. But hey, it's golf. It's Saturday morning. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. And what's really cool too, if you know, for all our listeners, if you're not already in our Facebook group, jump in there. The other thing too, follow us on Instagram at Golficity, because as Mike, we got around booked this Saturday, we're playing again next Friday. As we get out there, we're going to start putting a lot of, you know, Facebook Live videos up, things like that. That way you guys can interact with us right on the course. We're going to be posting a lot of Instagram stories, and a lot of what we do there and what we learn on the course is what we're going to be talking about here on the show. So it's a great way to get in ahead of time, you know, a couple days before the show goes live, and just be able to interact with us. So I'm looking forward to that. It's cool. I kind of feel like I'm able to bring like everybody out there on the course with us, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, I got to backtrack a sec. So we're playing next Friday. I thought this Saturday was in lieu of next Friday.
No, man, we got to do both.
Bonus golf.
Bonus golf.
Love it. Okay. All
right.
Come on, great.
Why not? This just so happened to work. That's why I text you. I'm like, let's get out there this Saturday. It just so happened, like all the stars aligned that I had a free Saturday morning. So let's do it. But we got to keep next Friday still on the calendar. We got to get out there. It's been the longest winter I can remember.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I haven't played. I mean, I played a couple temporary greens. I haven't played on real greens since it's got to be October.
Wow.
It's nuts. So I'm as happy we're going to be out there playing. I don't know what the game's going to look like. It might be in some rusty conditions. I've been trying to swing, you know, working with the orange whip, doing some stuff in the house, but I don't know. Either way, it's going to be great just to be back out there.
Yeah, and you know, I played last Friday, full rounds, beautiful, warm, gorgeous day, 6 3 putts, Frank.
Whoa.
So the putting was a little rusty. You know, the game wasn't sharp at all, but my tempo was so smooth. And my playing partners, the guys I usually play with at work, they said it over and over. They're like, hey, Mike, you really slowed things down. Maybe it's all that lack of sleep from the baby. You know, they were making jokes. But, you know, I got there really early. This was great. I got there like a half hour early. I started to put that pre-round routine in early in the season, like I promised myself. Got there early. I started doing this like tempo count in my head on the range. Mm-hmm. I transitioned it out on the course. And for like the first 7 or 8 holes, I was playing really well tee to green. On the green was where I struggled. But you'll see my tempo on Saturday, how it's really slowed down. I know you'll make note of that. But everything started to fall apart at the end. So it was a poor, poor score, but I didn't expect much on my first round.
Yeah, first round of the season, it's always just like kind of shake it off, get everything out. But it's like we've talked about before. We talked about this a lot last season. The first thing that seems to go is feel. If you haven't been playing, and of course, yeah, we're doing everything we can throughout the winter, simulators, stuff like that. But you know what putting is like, especially in a simulator. You don't have the feel. But that's the first thing that seems to go if you're out of practice, so to speak, if you're not playing, is that feel. And I find the same thing. Everything, the closer I get to the green, the kind of the worse it gets, because you just got to get back into it, get back used to it. Sure, you can putt on the carpet. And we talked a lot about all those different things you can do to keep your game in gear. But it just takes that round or two just to start feeling it again. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I had a 15-foot putt and I left it 7 feet short. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, yes, the course was a little wet. You know, yeah, they weren't really rolled out, but no excuses. I mean, that was pretty brutal.
You know what it is, but that's the thing too. We talked about before about setting expectations too. Mm-hmm. If you go out there and you're kicking yourself because you played poorly and you haven't played all winter, getting a little too hard on yourself. You got to just say, like, just take the good out of it. Be like, all right, you know, these things are working. I can build on that. Trust me, within 2-3 weeks, you'll be fully back in the swing of it and playing well again. Then you got the whole summer just to ride that out.
Right. True enough. And what's cool is tomorrow I'm actually entertaining some clients at a short game clinic. How cool is this? At Baltusrol tomorrow, which is really neat. It's actually an hour and a half, 30-minute segments on the green, which I need help with, obviously, around the green. So chipping, and then sand play, so sand work around the green. So it's a full 30 minutes in each segment with the course pros, followed up by a tour of the facility, and then we end up in the wine cellar for drinks and hors d'oeuvres. I mean, what's better than that?
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to have to pretend I'm a client for a day. Come down
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
If nothing else, you're going to have to jump on me with that short game practice right before we go out.
Right. So no excuses for me on Saturday around the greens.
No, man, without a doubt. You know, something I just kind of jumping back to, I just want to touch on some things from the community before we jump into today's topic. But I got an email, which actually was brought up a really good question. One of our listeners asked me specifically about the orange whip because they hear me talking about it here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of looking through our list here, Mike, of when we cover that on the show. Back in episode 117, we had the creator of the orange whip on the show. And I've been using it since, because for me, it's really great for my back and getting warmed up. But a good question that he had was, like, they come in a couple different sizes. You have like the driver, the mid-length iron, then the shorter one that's almost like a wedge length, or it's like more compact. And he was wondering if he should get all three. Now, me personally, I think it'd be a little bit of overkill. I just went with, and if anybody else has the same question or is also wondering which one to go for, I went with the iron, the mid-length. It's more so even than a mid-length. I'd say it's almost the length of my 3-iron. I found that the driver one, although, you know, it's great for practicing that, it was a little too unwieldy to have like on a day-to-day. You know, I like mm-hmm. to throw this thing in my bag. And even with the mid size, the iron length, so to speak, when I throw it in my bag, it pops up almost as high as my driver. So it's not short. I find that it's plenty long and plenty heavy enough to use for the momentum to warm up my back. Plus, I can use it for like all the things we talked about in that episode, like getting that feel for the leg and stuff like that. And you know, they're not cheap. They're like $100. So personally, I think if you can save and not buy all three, go for it. I have the putter one too, which actually I got as a sample, the demo. I've been toying around with it a little bit, but for me, nothing is as good as that mid iron one. So if anybody's has the same question, you're thinking about getting it, check it out. And they're not a sponsor of the show, so this is not an endorsement. I actually use the product. I love it. But check it out and get just one. It's to me, you get the midsize, and then if you really want to get the driver or something, maybe get it later, but just start there. That's a big one.
Yeah, you're going to have to let me take that out for a test spin on Saturday before we get up to the tee box for
we're
sure.
We're really going to need it. It's going to be still a little cold. Yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget, they have a range there, Frank, so get there even – I don't know how much earlier you could get there.
We'll be hitting balls in the dark if we get there exactly. earlier. But you got those light-up golf balls because 6:38 tee time. I don't know.
I don't even know what time to get there, to be honest with you. But we'll see what happens.
Just bring the egg sandwiches.
Yeah, right.
Also – couple things that was really cool in the Facebook group. Had a lot of guys talking about, because last episode we talked about getting fitted for golf clubs. A lot of people diving in there talking about their own experience with it. Really cool. So many little nuances that everybody was bringing up about the ideas of getting fitted, you know, across the, for a full bag versus just one or two clubs. A lot of people talking about their specific experiences with it. So really great. You know, I love everybody sharing that because it's just so much more builds upon what we get the chance to talk about in this kind of condensed half hour show here. It's just so much more is able to come back. And we learn from you guys too, because there's only so much experience that we have doing it. We can talk about our own experience, but when we start hearing from you guys, we love that too. So definitely check that out. If you're not already in the group, which is growing pretty quickly. I mean, we're up to 408 members in the group and it just keeps kind of growing every day. But just go to Facebook, search The Golf Podcast. You're going to see it pop up. Another big thing we see, a lot of guys asking their rules questions. We've got Richard Todd, who's been on the show twice. He's like our unofficial rules guy. He jumps in there with some excellent, easy to understand rules answers every time. So if you do have one, tag him in the post and you'll get a quick answer.
Frank, I got to ask you this. Yeah. What is with all the videos of people hitting golf balls off of each other's privates and, you know, rear end? I mean, it's an obsession right now. I mean, it's crazy. People are getting severely hurt, but, you know, it gives me a good laugh. I mean, I bring that up because I saw a video in the group someone posted. And it gave me a good laugh.
Yeah, I don't know. 9 out of 10. I watch so many of these videos, especially because I see them in our Instagram. 9 out of 10 of these end up with somebody rolling around on the ground in pain, and yet they keep doing them. So I don't know. I've seen a couple that work out, and it's I don't know. I love who's a good crazier, trick shot fail. The guy who's like laying on the floor, or the guy who's attempting the shot.
Exactly. Right.
I don't know. If nothing else, we get a good laugh.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But these guys are crazy without a doubt. So that's that. Like I said, before we jump into tonight's topic, make sure you join the Facebook group. It's 100% free. You know, we just want to have a place where we can talk to you guys and you guys can kind of share some of your experience. And definitely follow us on Instagram. The other thing we're doing is we're doing a lot of our smaller, just quick giveaways on Instagram, t-shirts, hats, things like that. We just did a Win It Wednesday today for another cool shirt that we have in our little online, you know, merch store. So definitely follow us there too. And it's just great ways to, like I said, to interact with the show. All right, Mike, let's do a quick word from our sponsor. Then today's topic, we're going to talk about shaft lean, what it is, how to use it, how to get it to benefit your game. So this is an important topic and we've got a lot to cover. So let's do a quick word from our sponsor and then we're going to jump into that. This week's episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by the USGA. You may know the USGA mostly for their 14 annual championships and competitions. Their championships are widely looked upon as the ultimate tests in golf, but there's a lot more about the USGA you may not know.
Yeah, their scientists are focusing on important health of the game solutions, including helping golf facilities reduce their reliance on water. Their innovation team has come up with a resource management app that helps course superintendents know how to better allocate their resources and help ensure a better experience for golfers. Plus, the USGA's handicap system helps level the playing field and makes the game more social.
Yeah, Mike, and along with the RNA in Scotland, the USGA USGA is modernizing the game's rules. They're even asking us for feedback that everyone out there is invited to share with them anytime online. There's a lot to love about golf, and the greatness of the game brings out the best in all of us. Discover more at usga.org. All right, so we're talking about shaft lean here, and you may think, all right, what's this? Like, where are we kind of going with this, and what do we mean? So I want to kind of first define this and get a little bit more into it, because this is something especially for newer golfers that they may not quite be addressing yet, but everyone can benefit from it. You know, we get ourselves thinking about things like grip, stance, swing plane, swing path, club faced angle. It just kind of keeps going on and on, hip rotation, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, there's important parts of all those fundamentals, but this is something that can so often get overlooked. And not only is it something that when applied properly, you're going to be able to get more out of your game, more out of your ball flight, more out of your backspin on those, you know, wedges and things like that. But more so, you can also, if you're doing it wrong and you've had a shaft lean in the wrong direction, if you can identify that and right the ship, you're going to save yourself a lot of strokes, because that's where we start to talk about like kind of flipping and stuff like that, where you're getting behind the ball. So it's an important thing to understand. So before we do anything, Mike, let's just kind of define it. Let's just get a little bit into what we mean by shaft lean. And we hear that term thrown around a lot in golf circles. So even if you're not super familiar with how it affects your game, you've probably heard it before. You've probably heard someone bring it up, or maybe you're watching Golf Channel or some one of those instructional things, and you hear them talk a little bit about shaft lean. But if the shaft of the club, basically, and this is how to put it as simply as possible, is leaning towards the top target when that ball is struck, your swing is said to have a forward shaft lean. So easy enough to understand, right? It's leaning towards the target, forward shaft lean. And then the opposite is true the other way. You have a reverse or a backward shaft lean if the club is leaning away from the target at impact. Now, it's always best to kind of visualize this. What I'll do is in the show notes, you can go to golficity.com/episode 164. Unbelievable. We're up to 164th episode, Mike.
Sometimes it's crazy. I gotta,
like, just check myself and realize it's crazy how many episodes we've done so far. But anyway, if you go there, I'll post the link to an article we did about this exact topic with some really great videos and photos, just to kind of make it a little bit more, if you're a visual learner, you can kind of understand it a little bit better. Because the other thing is, don't forget, the swing happens so quickly through that hitting area. So if you may not feel it, you may not know which direction the shaft is leaning. So there's a lot of ways that you can kind of find that out, especially we've talked about the benefits of just kind of using your camera, slow motion. I like to do that, Mike. I just take a video, and then you can just pause it. And you were even showing me how to do this a little bit, where you pause it and then you can just slide left and right, frame by frame, and you can see that moment of impact. So that's kind of how to identify it. But now, generally speaking, let's talk about what you want, what you're after. Generally speaking, you want to have the shaft leaning towards the target slightly at impact when you make that full swing. And this is really especially true with your irons, where you need to be hitting down and through the ball in order to achieve that solid contact. Because what that does is that imparts that backspin. So I think this is that misconception that a lot of new golfers have. A lot of new golfers, and if you see somebody who just kind of picks a club up for the first time and takes a swing, right? There's this intuitive thing where they think to get the ball in the air, they almost have to like scoop it up in the air. Right. And they think, like, you look at that, you know, that loft angle, and you think, like, I'm almost using this as a scoop. And that's where we see people like flipping, right? That dreaded flip. The reality is, and the physics of the way it's supposed to work, is as you hit down on that ball, and this is where the shaft lean is actually forward shaft lean, because you're hitting down on that ball. We did a whole episode on compression, right? So you hit down on it. What's going to happen there is that the ball itself is going to climb up. That's why you have those grooves, and you want to keep the grooves clean so it can grip the ball there. It's going to climb up that face of the club, and that's going to impart that backspin. And the more you compress it, and the more swing speed you have there, the quicker it's going to ride up that club face. And also, there's also the equipment that has to do with it. The more like a wedge, and when you have a lot more loft, it has more to ride up in that angle. What that does is that creates that backspin. And then the simple physics of, as the ball flight goes, the more backspin you have, that ball just kind of lifts. It just creates lift and it takes off. And the other thing, the other benefit of that backspin is you see like the pros stopping it, bringing it back on the green, those types of things. So pretty much through the bag, and we're going to talk down to the putter, you're going to want to have a little bit of that forward shaft lean. Now, the only place that I would say no, or it's going to be close to neutral, is going to be with your driver, because a driver, like we talked about before, it's the only one that functions a little bit different. Instead of hitting down on the ball, you're actually hitting up, and there you're actually relying on that tee and that swing up on the ball in order to get the height. All right. That's where with driver, you don't really want to impart too much backspin, because that's going to hurt you on the rollout. You're going to lose some distance. So with your other clubs, especially speaking of irons, you want to have that slight forward shaft lean. So when you place your hands in front of the ball at impact, you know, which is really the only way to achieve that forward shaft lean, you give yourself so much better chance of making a solid strike. That's another thing you hear of buzzwords like ball striking. People talk about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To make a good solid strike, you've got to be, you know, have that. And again, there's some debate whether or not you want to have that forward shaft lean with your driver. But you certainly don't want to have the reverse shaft lean and impact. If anything, like I said, you want to have a vertical position with your driver. But most of the stuff we're talking about here, when I say forward shaft lean, I'm talking about through the bag, hitting the ball off of the actual turf. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a little sense to me, at least at this point. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. So shaft leaning towards the target, essentially just hands are in front of the ball at impact.
That's right. That's right. Okay. It's just hands. When you have that hands, that shaft is leaning towards it. And you know what? Even if it's hard to conceptualize, trust me, if you've been playing for a while, you'd feel it in a second. Like if you tried making contact, or even just like setting yourself up, just not even hitting a ball, and just have your hands back behind the ball, it's gonna feel awkward. But a lot of people do that, and what that is, that's called the flip. You know, and this is why you want to monitor that shaft lean to make sure you're avoiding it. And good players, they're really able to hold that lag. We talked about lag extensively as well. And that's where you hold that lag, you create that nice shaft lean at impact. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of it, less capable golfers, you know, tend to let that club head pass the hands at some point on the way down. You know, sometimes, like I said, the best way to visualize it is when it's, because again, it could be very, and that's why I said use the benefit of using like your camera or slow motion, because slight nuances, like a little bit, like a 1 or 2% shaft lean in either direction, is going to be hard to kind of pick up. The best way to kind of visualize it is if you see somebody who's doing a dramatic one, like I said, like a brand new golfer, and if you see them like really cast, you know, and they really flip that club, and that's what they call it, flipping. And what that happens is that backward shaft lean, it robs you of any power that you've had. When you've got the forward shaft lean, think of it like you're just compressing that ball into the turf. That's what I mean. That's where that real power comes from. And if you flip the club in the downswing, not only do you fail to generate, you know, any real power, you also tend to fight a slice. And if your shots are weak and off to the right for a right-handed golfer, it's a chance that there's some sort of shaft lean issue there.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's going on in my game right there. So this is interesting, and I want you to videotape me on Saturday from that side angle, if you don't mind, because I'd love to see, you know, where my, you know, shaft is at impact.
Let's take a look at it. I mean, I think if anything, if you struggle with it, it might be on the wedges and the lower clubs, because you seem to get a really nice compression on those higher. The you know, 3 irons, 4 irons, stuff like that. Right. But we can take a look and see if there's something there, because like I said, and again, it doesn't have to be like crazy amount, you know, because that's usually where you can notice it quickly. If it's just a little bit in either direction, you know, behind it a little bit, that's where you can have these little problems, these little nuances you might not have been aware of. So forward shaft lean, you know, it's probably most important in the wedge game than anywhere else. And this is probably where also it's probably the most prominent. When you see the really good players do it, when you see the pros on TV, you see that moment of impact. Golf Channel and all these other broadcasts that we see, they always have those really great close-up slow motion shots, usually before like a commercial, cut shots and stuff like that, where you see them just biting in and taking that divot. Watching those moments, watch some of these guys with the, you know, those wedges into greens, watch where their hands are in relation to the ball. And that's where you really get that visualization. You're going to see that they got that nice forward shaft lean. And when you hit those wedge shots, you want to have that, you know, shaft lean so that you can have that sharp downward impact. That sharp downward impact is what's necessary to spin the ball at a high rate. So again, where some people might intuitively think, well, to get that ball up in the air, I need to kind of flip it up there. The reality is the opposite. You want to compress it, get that downward impact, let the ball as quickly as possible spin up that club face. And what that does is that creates the spin that not only carries the ball high in the air, but helps land soft and stop it on the green. So even if you're unable to record your swing on video, just watch divots. That's another thing that can really help. If you watch the divots you take, you can see if you're having a good forward shaft lean. Like if you're taking nice long divots after making contact with the ball, that's what's telling you your shaft lean is forward and you're compressing and the bottom of your swing is actually in front of the ball rather than behind it. The other thing you'll do often is if you're kind of flipping, you're bottoming out before you hit that ball. So big long divots, they're usually a good sign of a good wedge game. And use that damage, you know, that you're making out there to kind of get an idea and look at it. So that's important. Shaft lean too can come very much into play in chipping and around the green. This is a mistake that I used to make a lot. I was losing a lot of control. I was hitting in behind the ball and just kind of stopping and it not traveling where I wanted it to. And a big part of that was just not holding that out, that hands in front. This is where people start to really see it and feel it, especially with a chip shot. If you're, you know, at neutral vertical, or if your hands are behind the ball, you know something's wrong. You know, a good chip shot, you really see those hands in front and you're just using the turn of the upper body. So you want your hands in front of the ball, create that forward shaft lean with a chip shot. Unless, again, you're trying to loft the ball high in the air. And that's a little bit, and we're getting into something different, flop shots. That's something we talked about before. There you may want a little bit of reverse shaft lean, depending if you got that club face all the way open and you're trying to just cut under it. But again, flop shots are their own animal. That's why we did an entire episode about it. I wouldn't want to confuse you too much by getting into that. Let me just see here. We did flop shots, episode 144. So check that out if you want to dive into that a little bit deeper. But yeah, when you want to hit down on those chip shots, that's what creates a little bit of that backspin. It creates a little bit more control. So forward shaft lean is important there. And here's the thing, believe it or not, there's a little bit of forward shaft lean even with putting. Once you step on that green, you want to have your hands in front of the ball. But here I'm talking just barely, like almost not noticeable to the naked eye, so to speak. So for most people, the ideal setup in putting is going to see just a tiny, tiny amount of forward shaft lean. Good example of this, probably like Phil Mickelson, who's an excellent putter. You can kind of see that with him and pause, you know, just kind of do a Google image search of him at his putting stroke. And you'll kind of see that there's a little bit of that forward. If anything, he's probably a little bit more than some of the other guys. He actually for a while was running a fairly high, you know, relatively high lofted putter.
That's
because
he has such
a forward push. But there's a benefit to it there too. But again, if you're on the putting surface and it's like a chip where your hands are way out in front, there's something wrong. You don't want to do that. We're not trying to compress the ball there. We're just talking about just a very slight little bit. And I find it just for a little more control. So yeah, shaft lean, it's another small detail you need to consider, you know, when putting together your game, but you know, it doesn't need to dominate your thoughts. I wouldn't go overboard with this. I think if it's something in your game, it's something to check in with. I think every once in a while, especially if you notice something symptomatic or maybe you're losing power or something like that, it's always good. Just pull out the video camera, do it on the range, wherever it may be. Have a buddy, like you're saying, Mike, out on the course, just kind of take a quick shot with the cell phone and look at it and just see. If you do identify a little bit of that reverse shaft lean, that's something you can pretty easily correct. And by doing so, you're going to be able to take advantage of all the benefits that come with it.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you in charge of that on Saturday for me, if you don't mind. All right. You're going to be the one to tell me about my lean. However, let me just throw this out there because everyone who's listening to the show, they may be saying, all right, this is all great and good, but what tools or devices out there will help me with this? I mean, do you know any off the top of your head? Would like Impact Snap be one of them, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think the impact snap without a doubt would help, because the fact that helps if you release way too quickly, which is by releasing quickly, you're also moving that shaft forward, right? You're moving that right. club face forward, and the shaft is coming actually. So it's reverse. It's behind it. So if you're, mm-hmm. if you're cast, it's like we talk about casting, flipping, you're going to feel it. The other thing you could do is just so simple. Like I said, it sometimes it just takes seeing it. I know I have an iPhone. I think all smartphones do this now. They have either native built into the phone, or you can always get an app for it where you can pause and like annotate or draw on the screen. Just pause mm-hmm. it. Just draw a completely vertical line right down, to the ball, and just see, are your hands in front of the line or your hands behind the line?
Good point.
And it's a really good way to do it. And as you move down through the bag, your hand should be a little bit more and more in front. So with a 3-iron, it might be only 1 or 2 degrees in front. But then with the moving down to a 7-iron, maybe you're at 7 or 8 degrees, and a little bit further to a wedge, maybe 10 degrees.
Got it.
It's nothing dramatic. I don't want anybody getting too crazy with it, but it's just, again, just identifying that small little bit. And by checking out some of the pictures in the article that I'll link to, you'll really be able to visualize even more what I mean. And it's something too, we always say this, it's always a benefit to work with a pro, and take a lesson once in a while. If it's something that you identify through using these tools, it's something you identify as a problem, or even something you can bring to the pro, like a picture maybe you took on your phone or a video. It gives you something focused to work on during lessons. We always say like lessons aren't cheap, so it's, you got to get the most out of them. One way to do that is to walk in knowing what's wrong with your game, and then having them help give you the corrective steps to fix it. Cause sometimes they'll see something you don't. It's always good to have another set of eyes. And that's one thing you can do. Be like, listen, I'm going in there and I know that part of my issue here is shaft lean, because here's a video I took and my hands are behind the ball at impact. And then they're going to say, okay, this is what we need to do to fix that. So it's just by identifying, it's like almost half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I think such a huge part of frustration in this game is when people are just frustrated because they just don't know what they're doing wrong. If you know, at least you can give yourself a course and a path towards fixing it. So that's what we wanted to identify with this episode, is just say, hey, this is something to consider. It's not something to drive yourself nuts over, but it's something to say, hey, I got to take a look at this and make sure that if this is something I'm doing, this could be leading to some of this frustration, some of the problems I'm having. I know it was for me with chipping, without a doubt.
Yeah, makes sense, Frank.
Yeah, I was almost caught in my mind with some of my chips between like a flop and like almost a bump and run. And I think I was just playing this middle thing that did nothing. it was right. just like almost arms vertical, if not a little bit behind, but yet still trying to play like almost a bump and run. And it was just too many times I would hit like the turf behind it, bottoming out behind it. You know, that like a really annoying, demoralizing chip, especially from the heavy rough, where you go to chip it and you hit like an inch or two behind it, it stops the club, and then you barely make contact and it dribbles a couple inches.
Yeah.
And you just want to mm-hmm. kick yourself.
Yep.
I've mm-hmm. had that happen quite a few times. And then I realized having that forward shaft lean, I just moved through that target zone better. I wasn't making contact behind the ball. I was just kind of making good impact on the ball, and it wasn't stopping my club. Because that heavy rough and a slow swing, with a chip, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's an important one. All right. And again, before we wrap things up, as we come into the season, we're going to be playing a lot more. Make sure you're following us. Join the Facebook group. Follow us on Instagram. You can see these things. Maybe Mike will do a quick story about Schaffling or something. Try to draw on the screen or something.
Sure.
Just kind of to see what we're doing out there. And again, we're going to talk a lot in future episodes about lessons learned and all those things as we get out there and start to play again this year. So, all right, before we wrap things up, I want to once again just take a moment to thank our sponsor, the USGA. You may know the USGA mostly for its championships, but did you know the USGA is working to modernize golf's rules by making them easier to understand and apply? And that they're working with golf facilities to reduce their dependency on critical resources, including a reliance on water. Important thing with Earth Day just coming up next week. Just great to see them doing it and diving in and doing their part with that. Plus, the USGA's handicap system is used in more than 40 countries around the world.
Yeah, Frank, there's a lot to love about golf, and the greatness of the game brings out the best in all of us. So discover more at USGA.org.
All right, everybody. So that's everything we have for you this week. Again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all of the excellent reviews we've seen on iTunes and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. It's really helped us grow the show tremendously over the last couple months. Just something as simple as sharing it with somebody, a golf buddy or whatever it may be. It really helps us to keep the show going and keep growing the show. So please keep doing that. Also, we've had a lot of great recommendations from listeners in the podcast group and also emailing us directly at podcast@golfissy.com with other platforms, maybe places you prefer to listen to podcasts that perhaps we're not there yet. I know, I think, Mike, we're on like 25 different podcast platforms at the moment, but there's always new ones popping up. Different people have different preferences. If you don't see us on there, let us know, because we'll try to jump on it and we'll try to get contact who we need to contact to get us there too. So love those suggestions. Keep them coming. That's everything we have for you guys this week. We'll see you all again next week.